For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Satan Infiltrates the Church, as we pick up in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses say the resurrection has already passed, really. I mean, Jesus came again in 1914, didn't you know? Oh, but I thought every eye was going to see him. Oh, no, only those with the spiritual eyes, those who were living in the headquarters, and they saw him in New York, spiritually, with a spiritual eye. And he set up his reign in a secret chamber. And he is ruling now from the secret chamber through these men in New York. But we're in the kingdom age. Satan is bound. Glory to God. Hey, if this is the kingdom age, I'm greatly disappointed. I was hoping for much better than this. I wish the Lord had not put such a long chain on him. He still has enough rope to give me a bad time. Who have erred concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they subvert the faith of many people. They're turning a lot of people away to this weird little doctrine of theirs, drawing a lot of people after this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands. It stands sure. It has this seal. The Lord knows those that are his. The Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you take the name of Christian, if you take the name of Christ, then depart from iniquity. The Lord knows those who are his. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, clay. Some to honor, some to dishonor. Paul here refers to the church as a great house. Jesus in the kingdom parables indicated that the church was going to become something God didn't intend it to be. Those seven parables in Matthew's gospel, 12th and 13th chapter, that deal with the kingdom age, talking about the church. It's like unto a mustard seed that's very small, but it was planted and it grew up into a great tree. Wait a minute, mustard. You know, they don't have mustard trees. They have mustard bushes. If you've got a tree, you've got abnormal growth. And the birds or the fowls of the air came and lodged in it. The birds in the scripture are always used in an evil sense. You remember the parable of the seed that fell by the wayside and the birds came and plucked it up. Now the birds were Satan who plucked the word out that it couldn't take root. What's he saying? Satan's going to lodge in the branches of the church? Oh, yes. He is found lodging within the branches of the church. There is more junk comes out of the World Council of Church Proclamations and the National Council of Church Proclamations than you can believe. Concerning Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have erred concerning the truth. Corrupt men of corrupt minds, putting on a clerical garb, taking the title of reverend and espousing every rotten cause that comes along, every damning issue that would demoralize and destroy our society, and these men are ready to take it up and champion it, and they're ready to fight against anything that is good. A group of ministers filed a suit against President Reagan for proclaiming the year of the Bible in 1983. Hey, wearing a backward collar doesn't make a minister out of anybody. Only God ordains. A lot of men have the title of reverend. I would fear anybody taking that title. Sometimes people call me Reverend Smith and I cringe. They write that on a book or, you know, on a letter or something, and I cringe. I know that they don't know me when I get these letters, Reverend Charles Smith or the Reverend Charles Smith or the most Reverend Charles Smith. I know, hey, they don't know me. Because I don't consider myself reverend at all. There's nothing reverend about Chuck Smith. The Bible says we are to reverence God's holy name. That I do. But I don't want anybody reverencing my name or me. God help me. I'm a sinner just like you. I need the grace of God just like you. In a great house, though, many vessels, some gold, some silver, some wood, some clay. Some for honor, some for dishonor. Kingdom of heaven is like a woman hiding leaven in three measures of meal until it permeates the whole lump. Leaven is always used in an evil sense in the scriptures. The leaven of sin, the leaven of hypocrisy. It's a type of sin because it multiplies by putrefaction. Thus, it makes an excellent type of sin which multiplies by putrefaction. And so the church, the leaven within it, until it leavens the whole lump, the evil influences that have their way of permeating through the whole church. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man who planted wheat in his field, and at night the enemy came and sowed the tares. So that the servants, as it began to grow, said, Lord, there are tares growing among the wheat. Shall we go out and pull them up? No, he said, let them grow together until the end. And then at harvest, take and gather the tares together and put them in bundles and cast them into the fire, but bring the wheat into my barn. Jesus taught that these evil influences would exist within the church, that they would grow together until the time of the great harvest. The church is not a perfect organization. The church is made up of all kinds of people, and it's wise for you to recognize that because you can get skinned by people calling themselves Christians almost more readily than anybody else. Not all who say, Lord, Lord, are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And let's not be blind or foolish about this. The church is not a perfect organization. It's made up of all kinds of people. Thank God there is the good. Thank God for the faithful. Thank God for those who are really seeking after God with all of their hearts. It's because of those we continue to exist. If it weren't for those, the Lord would have brought judgment on the church a long time ago and it would have been wiped out. But the time will come when judgment will begin where? At the house of God. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? I mean, if the judgment begins at the house of God, what are you going to do when you get to San Francisco? So the church is not a perfect organization. And those that are spending their lives and ministries to perfect the church so that the Lord can come again are due for a great disappointment. Because in a great house, there are all kinds of vessels. Some are for honorable purposes, some for dishonorable purposes. Those of gold and silver were for the master of the house, that he might eat and drink out of these vessels of gold and silver. These were those that you love to use and entertain with. When company comes, you bring out your best silver and your best golden cups and bowls and all. vessels of honor. I want to display them. But in the same house, big house, you've got so much garbage that's got to go out. So you've got a clay pot over there in which you dump all the garbage. Vessel of dishonor. You throw the trash in it and you carry the trash out with that. All kinds of vessels, some of honor, some of dishonor. We are in this great house. We are a vessel. What kind of a vessel am I? Am I a vessel of honor that is fit for the master's use? How can I be? First of all, I've got to separate myself from those impure doctrines and men who are espousing the impure doctrines. If a man will purge himself from these what I often call sterile doctrines. You say, well, there's nothing so wrong with that. You know, it sounds a little weird, but you know, it doesn't hurt anybody. Oh, yes, it does. So often, there are doctrines that are being promulgated that the effect of the doctrine is sterilization. When you start to embrace it, it sterilizes you so that you are no longer fruitful. Doctrines that get the people all introspective, all into themselves. Demon, who's got the demon? You know, and they have these parlor games where they cast the demons out of each other. Lust and gluttony and lethargy and all of these demons that are hovering around and possessing the believers, you know. So we're going to have a casting out party tonight. You know, come on over. We're going to cast demons out. And so a person yawns. Oh, did you see him? He yawned. We better cast the demon of sleepiness out of him, you know. And if you burp, man, hands are laid on you and the gluttony demon has to go. Purge yourself from these things. They're not profitable. Purge yourself from these things. And you will be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, that is, God will set you apart. God will anoint you. And you will be fit for the master's use. Then God will begin to use you. And that really is what it's all about, isn't it? To be used of God. Touch some life, to be used of God to share his love, to be used of God as an instrument. That's what life is all about. Fit for the master's use as he prepares us unto every good work. God begins to prepare you through the word, through prayer, through your experiences. They're all a part of God's necessary preparation. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, you are his workmanship. God's working in you. Created together in Christ Jesus unto the good works that God has before ordained that you should accomplish. God has already foreordained that service that he wants you to accomplish for his glory. But he has to, first of all, work in you, preparing you. So the experiences that I go through, the hardships, the difficulties, the testings, the trials, the sorrows, they're all a part of God's necessary preparation as he is seeking to prepare the vessel to be used by the master. As he empties me of myself, that he might fill me with his fullness, that I no longer live for my own glory, but I live now for his glory, that I serve him in such a way that it brings glory to him. Let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Prepared unto every good work. Flee also, Timothy, youthful lust. How many have been injured, destroyed because of youthful lust? Flee them. Great example is that of Joseph as he was serving in the house of Potiphar. And the wife of Potiphar fell in love with him, sought to entice him to come into her bedchamber. Daily was flirting, enticing, until finally one day when the rest of the servants were out, she grabbed hold of him, going to force him into the bed. And he wriggled free, leaving his coat in her hand, and he ran out naked, fleeing youthful lust. Smartest thing he could do. There are some times when the wisest thing you can do is run. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so those that are calling from a pure heart, what are the things, what are the characteristics? Righteousness, faith, love, peace. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they are only designed to create strife. There are a lot of lead questions that are only designed to create an argument. A person has a position that they want to espouse. And so they come to you with a question. Why don't you baptize people immediately when they're saved? You see, they believe that a person really isn't saved until he's baptized. They want to get into an argument with you over baptism. Now, he said, avoid these questions. All they are intended to do is create strife. They're not really wanting to learn. They're only wanting an argument. They want to get in a fight. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Mustn't get into these arguments. But be gentle unto all men and apt to teach and patient. Ready to teach, but you got to be patient because in a great house there are all kinds of vessels. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. So you hope that God will work. You take your time. You're patient. You teach. Teaching in meekness. And just hoping that peradventure their hearts will be open, that they might turn to the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Oh, what an important verse. This verse teaches us that there are certain people who have been taken captive by Satan. They are bound by Satan. They are his captives. Now, we have the power, the authority through Jesus Christ to deliver them from the captivity of the enemy. Those who Satan holds, he holds by usurped power. You see, Jesus died for all men. He died for the sins of the world. That work of redemption was complete for all mankind. It covered every man's sin. Jesus redeemed the world back to God. However, Satan is still holding captive many people. But that hold that he has is a usurped authority that he has taken. But as long as the people are consenting to it, they remain his captives. And they consent to it because he has blinded their eyes to the truth of their own condition. Paul said, the God of this world, having blinded their eyes, that they cannot see the truth. So what a sad predicament the unbeliever is in, as he is bound by Satan, a captive of Satan, but his eyes are blind so that he doesn't even realize the truth of his own condition. He doesn't know how precarious is his position. For Satan has blinded his eyes. He's prejudiced against the Lord. Satan has blinded his eyes concerning the truth in Christ Jesus.
Oh, I don't believe the Bible. All kinds of contradictions all in it.
You know, you hear that all the time. I always say, show me one.
Oh, well, there are lots of them.
Well, then show me one.
Well, it's filled with them. You know, you don't have to show, it's full of them, you know.
Well, tell me one.
I heard someone say that one time.
God of this world's blinded their eyes. They can't see the truth. Sad place to be. That we might take them from the captivity. Is it possible that we can take them from the captivity? Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We can, in love, teaching them, instructing them, bring them the truth, which can set them free. We can, through prayer, open their eyes to see the truth. We can bind that work of Satan that is blinding their eyes, that is keeping them from knowing the truth. And we can deliver them from this captivity. Surely we ought to be engaged in this warfare, enduring hardness as a good soldier, getting out in the trenches, fighting against the enemy, delivering these who he has taken captive, setting them free through the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Vessels of honor used by the Master to bring His love and grace to a needy world around us. God help us.
The Word for Today is pleased to present The Best of Kay Smith, a flash drive of audio Bible studies from Kay Smith. With a heart devoted to encouraging women to follow Jesus, Kay Smith spent over 60 years faithfully teaching God's Word, helping women grow in their faith and honor God in everyday life. Now you can experience some of her most meaningful teachings in one place. This 8-gigabyte flash drive includes 93 messages, carefully selected to refresh your heart, deepen your love for God, and inspire you to reflect Christ to those around you. Whether for personal encouragement or to share with someone you love, these messages are a timeless source of wisdom and hope. Order The Best of Kay Smith today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. The Best of Kay Smith, timeless encouragement for everyday faith. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord richly bless you, fill you with His love and with His word and with His truth, guide you in all things. Make this a glorious week as we begin it in the Word, founded on the truth. May you grow up in Christ, maturing and growing and developing until your life is being used by the Master in a great way, bringing glory and pleasure to Him. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 2 Timothy on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 2 Timothy 2. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.